You where the mountains meet the crew. Ear to ear, we are C-Ray and Lady 2. Dropping gems from Morgantown to the ends. Insight, hot dance, stacking knowledge, trends. Ear to ear, come kick you with the best. C-Ray, Lady Moe. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the first episode of 2025 of Ear to Ear Podcast with C-Ray and Lady Moe. I don't know if anybody noticed, we got a new song coming in there. Credit to a fan of ours who kind of wrote that for us and was like, you guys should check us out. Pretty cool. Don't remember who it was. Lanny can tell us in a second. But we are back in business after taking some time off for the holidays. Lanny, how you doing, buddy?
Good, my man. Happy New Year. Drew Wade, thank you for the putting that out for us.
Yeah, so
we, man, appreciate it. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. That is awesome. Yeah, everything's good, man, down here in the capital city of West Virginia. Watching the snow come down hard, which I'm a big fan of snow in wintertime. I'm got about just about 3 inches now, a little over maybe. Been snowing since probably, I don't know, about 3.5 hours. So I'm hoping it piles up. I love it. Man, I don't know where to start. We got some stuff here to talk about. Took a couple weeks off of Christmas. Hope everybody out there had a good Christmas, good New Year. Hope everybody had a safe one. Hope all our listeners got everything they wanted for Christmas. I did. I got like 5 packs of Pro V1s for the golf course. You so like I shouldn't them. Have to, huh?
Nothing.
Get out of here.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I shouldn't have to buy balls for at least like a year and a half. So I'm pretty stoked about that. But let's start with some news here in the home football team, man. Zach Alley, everybody knows, kind of coming in. We stole him from Oklahoma. The Oklahoma fans were not very happy about that. We've got Noel Devine coming back in an assistant position. Am I missing any? I know he's made some hires, but I'm not real sure.
Got the offensive line coach. It has NFL experience and also lots of NFL experience and college experience. I mean, this guy's been coaching. He's put some lines together through the years. So, yeah. You know, it's he's brought most of his staff with him from Jacksonville State, which, hey, my thing is you trust those that's been long with you for the ride.
Yeah.
So, hey, they put it together down there. Why not? You know?
Absolutely.
So with that, it's going to come some players. And I know people are saying that, you know, we ain't getting no big name players and all of our guys that's entered the portal have been, guess what? It's the cycle that we live in. And it's right. going to be West Virginia's going to have to live in a portal. And yep. I truly believe that Rich and his staff he's a talent guy. He can find talent. Believe me, nobody heard of the talents that came through this university when he was here before, you know, with top, you know, making it into a top 15 program. So, I mean, nobody heard of Slayton. Nobody heard of, you know, the runaway beer truck owned Schmidt and, you know, Pat White and the same old guys that are Mountaineer legends now. No one heard of them until Rich and his staff found them. And he's going to find them again, bring them in, and we're going to be back. I'm just telling you, be patient, y'all. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody was kind of losing their crap that we haven't been bringing kids in and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to get there. I'm not real worried about it.
Yeah.
It's like I've said, for me anyway, even in the new age of NIL and transfer portal, even for me in the first year, I don't have any kind of hardcore expectations. I don't expect him to only come in and win only 4 games next year. I think that would be a bit of a disappointment. But, like, you know, I don't have anything real that I expect. I'll tell you what, though, something you kind of brought up, our kids leaving. Kind of brings me into something that's been kind of bothering me the last couple weeks. A lot of people are out there, like, you know, giving the news to these players that are leaving, right? You got like Hudson Clement, you know, he left and went to Illinois. And everybody's like wishing ill will and saying some pretty nasty things to some of these kids. And I'm like, first off, we live now in an age where money talks, bullcrap walks in college football. Okay. Some of the numbers have come out. Apparently, he went into WVU and wanted $800,000. And apparently, WVU offered him $400,000. And apparently, Illinois offered him, allegedly, $600,000. So he went with the highest bidder. Listen, kid's 19 years old. He made a business decision to better himself. He took essentially another job that is going to better him. As you know, in his financial situation, I don't blame anybody for that. No. I don't blame anybody for doing that. And you know, do we need to like love him and celebrate his accomplishments and celebrate the stuff he accomplishes when he goes to Illinois? Absolutely not, because I will agree, hey, he's not a Mountaineer anymore. I don't wish any ill will. Good luck on your adventures. But now I don't care what he does. But at the same time, like, they're like, these kids are trash. They're garbage. There's no loyalty. No, there's not any loyalty. But don't blame the kids, because the kids aren't the ones that created this environment where they don't have to be loyal anymore. Blame the parents that be that made all the new rules. But it's like, just like, why are we dogging guys? You know, F them, F this. You know, I've read some stuff out there that I'm just like, why are you saying that to a 20-year-old? First off, if it affects your life that much, your priorities might be a little, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting all torqued up because a kid left WVU, transferred to another school. And maybe that's just me. I don't know, Lanny. How do you feel about it? Maybe you feel a little more hard edge. Maybe you feel a little more hard edged about it than I do.
Well, my thing is with it, for one, you have no idea what that kid's his day-to-day living is. You know, their background they came from or whatever. They're making more money than they're ever probably going to get the opportunity to make.
And less than 2% of college football players go to the NFL. Less than 2%. So these kids have a chance right now to make, for a short amount of time, some of them NFL-level money. And that's the other thing I said. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Lanny, but that's the other thing I said, is all these people out here dogging him, don't pretend like when you were 19 and 20 years old that you wouldn't have done the same damn thing. Yeah. Somebody looks at you and says, hey, man, we'll give you $800,000 to come over here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that you would have said, nah, screw that, man. Like, get out of here with that. Sorry, but back to where you were.
Well, like, John, you know, I listened to a thing on Johnny Manziel was telling a story about every college had a bag man, you know, back in the day where it was illegal to buy a player a meal. If me and you were setting somewhere like an establishment and players walked in, we said, send their tab our way. That was a violation, you know? And, you know, he's like, now, you know, these kids are, I mean, it's a wild, wild west. I mean, the money, and they're still, I guarantee you, to the point, they're still a bag man at every university, that these kids are getting, you know, NIL money, but then behind the scenes, there's still envelopes being tucked into these kids' lockers, you know? Right. And,
I have said that they ought to treat them like the NFL, and they're starting to do that. If in the NFL, if a free agent tells his team, I know that they're all making more than this, but just for sake of conversation, I want $1 million. And his team says, we're not going to give you that because we don't feel you're worth that, but we're going to give you $500,000. And another team comes by and says, we think you're worth a little more than that. We'll give you $750,000. That free agent is probably going to go to the other team. And you know what? That's the environment we've created. I've said it should be more like the NFL, and it's kind of coming like that. These kids are free agents. Pay them or lose them.
Wait till you see how Belichick runs North Carolina's. You know what I'm saying?
I'm interested for that.
Well, he, from what I've heard, he said that the NIL is going to come through him, player valuation, where where somebody's coming in saying this, we want to pay this kid that this much or whatever, he's going to X-say it. Like, no. Yeah.
He's going to give it a stamp of approval or denial.
Everything's going to run through him, you know? Right.
Well, and it should. I mean, he's the head coach, first off. And second, he probably has spent some time knowing about what players might be worth when it comes to money.
Well, you're to the point now. Before, you know, we heard, coaches say, Matt Rule made a comment out there in Nebraska, it's going to be $1 million. Colleges are going to pay $1 million for a quarterback. Well, it's way above that now.
You're talking,
I mean, the Michigan quarterback, they said he's guaranteed $4 to $6 million. The next quarterback at LSU is looking at $4 to $5 million. It's insanity. It's absolutely, I mean, you got
for a guys, college football player. These are kids that might not even step foot on an NFL field.
Yes.
These are kids that might not ever play a single snap in the NFL, and they're making $4 to $6 million over a 4-year period. And that's why I say that if we're going to pay them like that, it needs to be like the NFL. They need to be under contracts, and when that contract's up or they want to leave, there needs to be the same kind of penalties and crap like that. You know, I mean, we've been through this, but yeah. I mean, it is the wild, wild west is a very good way to say it. But going back to what started all this, It seems like Rich Rod is in the process of building his circle here. Staff, starting to get some players coming in. We got that that quarterback from Texas A&M, which I mean,
you got to bring in somebody.
Yeah. And he had limited time down there, but I think he played four games before he got hurt. But in those four games in SEC country, he fared pretty well. So I don't know. You know, I'm a big Nico fan. Hey, I would hate to see Nico not win starting job next year. And I think the way it looks right now, he's kind of the first at the top of the hill. He's king of the hill at the moment. But yeah, I mean, we're starting to put some stuff together. I'm not worried much about it. You know, kind of like you said, I trust that's the guy that Wren hired. Let's give him the time. Season doesn't start for a while. We got a lot of moves to make before then.
Well, it's first year regardless. And I got a little upset at the whole damn offensive line left. I mean, that's where I was like, whoa. But it's if you don't want to be here, bye. That's the way I see it. If I had a kid on this team and he didn't want to be at WVU, you know, I would say, hey, let's go somewhere else, and it's bye and move on. They're going to get another crop of kids coming in, and that's the world we live in with college football now. And it doesn't hurt my. I have no feelings involved in this. You know, I don't have a kid out there getting a check sent home to, you know, to cash for him. So, you know, it is exactly what it is. It's annoying, yes, but we're in the same boat as everybody else is. You know,
Well, and we've got donors now that, you know, because they attached. I mean, let's be honest. Everyone says, "Oh, it was Wren Baker's decision." Yeah, you know, it was Wren Baker's decision, but that doesn't mean there wasn't a certain name attached to a lot of the money that came in. Nonetheless, we have donors now that have said, "Okay, hey, we got the coach we wanted. Now we're ready to put out money for the players." So, is it going to be something to the level of Alabama, Ohio State, Texas? Yeah, no, of course not. Right, like. I don't think that we could ever be at that level, but I sincerely believe that we will be at a place where we will be able to compete. This crap of, oh, we're just little old West Virginia, we're never going to be able to compete. We've always found a way to compete with less than everybody else has in the past, and we'll continue to do that because that's part of our blue blood. We got to put our boots on and go to work. That's what we do here. We've always managed to do it before and be competitive. We'll manage to do it moving forward. So I'm happy about that. But, moving on to college football playoffs, some bowl games going on, good stuff. There's been some good football. There's been some boring football. to start off, we have our Final Four, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame. Lanny, you and I shot I shot a little better than you did. I got two out of the four. You got one out of the four, because you said Arizona State was going to beat Texas, and I think they should have, and we'll cover that in a minute. But we ended up, I think you and I said Oregon, Penn State, Georgia. I said Texas. You said Arizona State. So I should have put some money against you on that because I would have won it. But that's where we're at right now. Before we get into like the Final Four teams, man, I personally want to talk about the BYU Colorado game. Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed BYU, and excuse my French, but I have to use this term. I thoroughly enjoyed watching BYU shit whip Colorado. Okay. I loved every minute of it. And had BYU not thrown a couple of unforced, unnecessary picks, that score would have been even worse. And it's not that I hate Prime. And it's not necessarily that I hate the hype that comes with Colorado and what they've done. I hate the arrogance. I hate the arrogance of thinking you're on top of the world when their schedule really wasn't that difficult. And then they get into the bowl game against a team that played better competition, that played well this year, and they got their freaking faces kicked in. I was a big fan of it. But I'll tell you what I wasn't a big fan of, dude. If you would have listened to the audio of the announcers without watching the game, you would have thought Colorado was winning that game. I don't know if you watched that one or not. Did you watch the BYU Colorado game?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, they had the Heisman winner there. And it's,
Yeah, and I mean, the Heisman winner got his ass beat.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, believe me, his number one thing, they were not to win that game. It was to survive the game, not get hurt. And Prime wanted to see the guys play. He didn't agree with any of his players setting out. So their number one thing was, we're not getting hurt.
So you think that they maybe cut back their effort a little bit? They didn't go as hard as they normally would have to avoid possibly getting hurt.
I believe that. I mean, the score still didn't reflect that too much, but you know, believe me, if I know that I'm a first round pick, probably in the top 10 picks, I am not diving. I am not laying out. I am not, you know, taking that extra effort to make a tackle, to put myself out there bodily injury, no way, shape, or form. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with
fair
it.
Point.
So,
fair point. I guess I'll be honest with you. I never really looked at it that way because I think I was looking and being too happy about Colorado beating the crap out of them. But nonetheless, that happened. And then ESPN the next morning writes an article about the game that showcases, you know, Sanders and Hunt. And I was just like, you know, I'm kind of over that. I'm kind of over that hype a little bit.
I'm over Colorado. Now,
yeah,
you know, I mean, Prime brought those guys with him, you know, and now you get to see what kind of coach he is to see if he can develop three more of those types.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see if they can kind of, I guess, replenish the talent they're going to lose this year.
Yeah.
But Texas ASU, Lance, I got to ask you a question. I need you to be honest with me.
Yeah.
Was it targeting?
Yes, that's targeting.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. That is the definition of targeting. Head to head, above the shoulders. And was it close? Yes. And people don't realize, too, those are train wrecks over and over out there at very fast speeds. The ref sees it instantly in front of them. When they review it, I still don't know if they break it down super slow-mo, but I'm talking my definition of targeting that I always thought, and I've never coached a game in my life, was helmet-to-helmet contact, above the shoulder contact, and it says with the crown.
Hold on, though. Here's the hook. I don't know if you know this or not. There are two separate definitions that apply targeting in college. One requires the crown, one does not. If it's a running back or a running receiver, the crown of the helmet is required to be targeting. If it's a defenseless player, leading with the crown of the helmet is not a requirement of targeting. Okay? And as we all know, a defenseless player is a player catching a forward pass who has completed the catch but not had time to protect themselves or make a normal football play or whatever. Okay? That was clearly what this was. So all the people out there that have been using, who didn't use the crown of his helmet on a defenseless player, that's not a requirement of targeting. You take everything else in the definition of targeting.
There it was. There it was.
And everything else was there. So absolutely.
I missed the football aspect of football because that's a hell of a play. I mean, that's still a hell of a play. But, you know, my thing is my dad – at 79 years old, God bless him, he watches the game and he loses his mind. And I think that he's kind of right by this. I don't think there should be an ejection for an offensive running back or wide receiver, but I think there should be a flag thrown when that player knows contact is coming. First thing he does, puts his head down. And a defensive player, it's so hard because people do not realize, me and you cannot fathom how fast that game is.
Right.
And the defensive player goes, oh, shit, and he puts his head down and he gets targeting called on him. When the offense, he initiated it.
Right.
If he does not move his head, that defensive player, it's face mask in the middle of the chest.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And my dad, and my dad's like, they need to throw it on an offensive guy once in a while.
An interesting perspective. It's an interesting perspective.
He's like, he goes, because the defensive guys, they're the ones taking all the bullshit penalties for it whenever whenever they literally have a millisecond to try to adjust themselves, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the same thing as like when a quarterback goes to slide. If a defense, if a a defensive player has already initiated that thrust forward to tackle him, and then he's like, you can't just stop yourself in midair.
You can't
cut that momentum off.
You can't put a bullet back in the barrel.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the ones that really bothers me because it's, you know, these guys, like I said, you kind of get that thrust where you put yourself up to go to tackle, and then the guy slides, and then they're getting called for it. It's like, that's that one I don't think is fair. So I have a hard time with that, like just like your dad does. And I like your dad's perspective on that. Doc's got something there.
Gravity, I think gravity is undefeated on Earth. I'm pretty sure.
I think that's fair.
That gravity is undefeated on Earth. And you know, but when my dad said that, I argued with him. I said, what are you talking about? And then I watched it and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's an interesting point. Yeah.
Because I mean it's natural human instinct to put your head protects you, you know, to an extent where your body goes, your head has to go first, you know. And a wide receiver going across the middle catches the ball, he sees defense, and he does this. Well, he just changed the whole tackling angle for the defensive guy who's coming erratic, and I'm gonna take a shot on this guy. Legally, now what am I supposed to, I got to pull back in midair or that minute second. It's tough. The situation is tough. And you know, our former coach openly said it 100 times. I don't even know the definition of targeting anymore. And
might be the only thing he said that actually makes sense, but yeah.
So,
and I think a lot of coaches, I mean, there's plays constantly in college football where the coach says that. And I'm going to tell you, I honestly think that if that call goes the way it's supposed to go, I think Arizona State wins that game because
first off,
they talk about how a player's safety is paramount. Well, yeah, until it's not, right?
Yeah.
You're sitting there like, I feel like that was a bit of a business decision on the upstairs guys looking over this because that would have meant that the SEC would not have had a team in the Final Four of the college football. And I don't think we can let that happen. And I sincerely believe that. People can say what they want. That I think that crap has a certain amount of a rigged component to it.
Oh, there's definitely a weight. There's definitely a weight to it.
And that's what that was. Is SEC or Big 12, and no SEC in the. If it would have been the other way around, where like if Georgia would have won their game and the Texas game would have been after that, they may have let Arizona State get that one.
So but, also during the Texas game, the block. Okay, Texas guy blocks a field goal.
Yeah,
it bounces and goes over the crossbar, and people think that should have counted. Are you? You got to be kidding. The play, once that ball, and they're like, "Oh, I heard it all." I mean, it was on, you know, Twitter. It was on X, and it was on everything, where it was just a battle back and forth. And I'm like, as soon as the ball hits the ground, it's pretty much it's not dead, but it cannot go up through the upper. You're splitting hairs with it, with the definitions, but it's still no good. Yeah. It's no good. I mean, it's just.
So here's an interesting question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're running down the basketball court and you slam the ball off the ground and it goes up and in the hoop, is that.
Okay. You're total out. You're two sports now. You know, if in dodgeball, if you throw a wrench in it, no,
you can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
No, but I completely understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay.
If I throw the ball, hits you in the face, and then goes in the basket. Whose point is it? Well, it's my basket. It's my basket because it went in mine. You know,
I mean, I'm not saying I'm advocating for it because at the end of the day, I agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate. But yeah, one of the things that really got me about that Arizona State game is I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm like, Texas scores on the last time. And I'm thinking, all right, well, this game's done. Like, I'm gonna go find something else to do. I come back 10 minutes later and I come back to see Scataboo throw a trick play, throw a 42-yard touchdown pass. And I'm like,
my dude goes from throwing up on the sideline to throwing touchdowns.
Dude looks like they're getting ready to put him on a stretcher with some fluids and get him out of there. He's like, no, I'm good. Let me throw a touchdown pass. Kid, that's tough, dude. That is tough.
Can I go in on something else too? What in the hell is going on with these players taking their pants and turning them into shorts pretty much? No thigh pads. These dudes out there are just, they're wild. College kids in this, I don't know if it's a fashion statement they're trying to make.
It's a fashion statement. I'm going to tell you something that's driving me nuts right now.
It's wild.
Fashion statements with these young kids right now. And I shouldn't be aging myself. I'm only 34, but I'm telling you what's pissing me off, man. I haven't been to Under Armour and found a pair of shorts long enough for me in the last freaking year and a half, man. Every time I go to Under Armour to get some effing shorts and I put them on and they're like halfway up my thigh, I'm like, this is killing me. Because I'm like, me and you are from the same generation of you wear shorts, they come down to your knee. And now these young kids are bringing back the freaking thigh highs. Let me show you half my ass cheek shorts. And it's killing me because I can't find shorts anymore. And I'm 6'3". And Lanny, you're the same height as me, essentially.
Yeah.
It's hard to find shorts to come down to your knees right now. It's bothering the hell out of me.
My dude, my dad bought with these new golf. Like, I have trouble finding golf shorts.
Can't do it. You know? Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm paying for them, but I'm like, where, man? I mean, I'm Quadzilla over here with these legs, you know, and these shorts. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? But with the football, every game now I watch, I'm like, man, these guys are literally got shorts on. They're not even pants anymore.
They're not even football pants. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
They're doing that thing. They're doing that thing the girls did in high school where they put the pants on there too long and they roll it up at the waist. You remember that? Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're rolling them up.
Shoot. So out of the teams that are left.
Right.
What do we got? We got Ohio State.
Well, Penn State. So we had the Ohio State and Oregon game, which Ohio State won, and yeah. I thought that was going to be more of a game. I was disappointed in Oregon. First off, I wanted Oregon to win because, let's be honest, we all hate Ohio State. But I have to say, dude, Ohio State's quarterback, that guy's dropping dimes, man. He's freaking – the kid's good. And then he's got good receivers too. And you put that together, man, that is a hard quarterback-receiver combo to stop right now.
Now, see, I think Ohio State wins it.
That's what I was going to say.
I think
Ohio State's going to win it because of how you stop them.
No, you can't bet against them. I mean, yeah.
Jesus. Boy, I hate saying that. God, I do too.
I do too. Man. And I'm surprised. I'm really surprised by Notre Dame. Because I don't watch Notre Dame. You know,
I thought Georgia was going to annihilate them, and I'm starting to think that we're starting to see it's small right now. It's small, but we're starting to see a glimpse of NIL and transfer portal starting to affect the blue bloods a little bit. And I know we still have a blue blood, essentially, you know, a blue blood Final Four here. Yeah. But what I mean is, like, a few years ago before NIL and all this was a thing, who were the two teams that we saw every single year in the playoff?
Georgia Bama.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I think with NIL, you got these smaller teams that are able to throw some money at one or two good players that may have went to Bama, that may have went to Georgia, but they're coming here because it's like, oh, I can go here, I can be a star and make money. I think we're starting to see a little bit of it change the game. It's not a lot because at the end of the day, we still ended up with essentially a blue blood Final Four, which is fine. But I don't know. I think you're starting to see a little bit of that. I was really surprised with Notre Dame. I thought Georgia was going to beat their brakes off. And it was a boring game. It was boring. I watched like three – a little bit into third quarter. I was like, all right, I'm over this. And I went and watched something else. I went and did something else. I think I went and got the – started prepping the four-wheeler for winter.
The NCAA, absolutely. I'm not saying it's because I hate Notre Dame or, you know, anything like that. They need to force Notre Dame to join a conference. Think about this, because it's basically going to get into the point where it's all scheduling, and yeah. Notre Dame can go out there and schedule whoever the hell they want.
Don't they have to schedule a certain amount of ACC opponents? Like, isn't that their deal? I read this somewhere, and it's been a couple of years, so maybe it's changed.
You know what? If anybody can correct us on this, please put it in the comments. Please do.
I heard or read here, or this was a conversation that I was reading about a while back, where Notre Dame, two things in their stipulations of remaining independent is they have to schedule, it's either a certain amount of ACC schools or Power Four schools now. And if they do join a conference, ACC has the first right to accept or deny them entrance. So, you know, maybe not. But I mean, I don't think there should be any independent teams personally. If you're going to be a D1 school that you want to compete in D1 sports with all the other schools, you need to join a conference. And at this point, it doesn't matter which conference because we're all spread across the country now. So pick one. Doesn't matter. I wouldn't, you know, not suggest picking the Big Ten because they'll probably get beat a lot there personally. But speaking of the Big Ten, that brings me to Penn State, Boise State. Not much of a game there. Penn State was pretty much in control the whole time.
Penn State did what everybody thought Penn State would do.
I'm not trying to put an asterisk beside what they've done because they've done it with authority. But I kind of feel like they had an easier path than a lot of the other teams did.
They did.
They played SMU and they played Boise State.
They did. They got the best draw. They had the best draw out of anybody.
Yeah, all by far.
Yeah.
So it's like, they did do what we thought they were going to do, but not because they're that good of a team, or is it because they drew SMU and Boise State for their first two games?
Every team that got a bye lost. Every single team that got the first round bye, got their ass whooped, got sent home, one and out.
All of them got beat bad except Arizona State. And if it wouldn't have been for Scataboo in the comeback, they would have gotten beat equally as bad. But at the end of the day, targeting call or not, you could have blamed that game on. You could have blamed them losing on Texas kicker. You know what I mean? Like earlier, like they shouldn't. I'm not articulating this at all. What I'm saying is that game should have been over because Texas kicker missed two field goals inside 40 yards.
Yeah.
Twice. That should have just eliminated the possibility of overtime. Yeah. Yeah. So, and you know, it's interesting. Now, you want to take a walk down conspiracy lane with me for a second?
Let's go.
Okay. Come on. Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. I feel like there's going to be a pull to kind of force a Big Ten national championship. Like maybe there's a little bit of an issue here where the refs are going to try to make sure that Ohio State and Penn State
play each other championship,
right? Because if I remember right,
I'm telling you what, if Penn State and Ohio State come down to play, you'll be the first one to come up with that I've heard of, but that will be the hot topic.
Ooh, I'm gonna start it then. Y'all heard it here first. Conspiracy theory 101. Big Ten, they're trying to force Ohio State, Penn State. We get credit first.
Except people's gonna be like, the more the controversy is that the SEC got screwed somehow, some way, out of playing in national.
Don't care.
Yeah. So,
yeah. You know what? You know what surprised me about the SEC? I was surprised that Oklahoma kind of flunked as much as they did this year. I just expected them to perform better in the SEC because they went, what, 6-6? And it's funny because they're making a – have you seen this stuff where the Oklahoma fans are just like, yeah, the Big 12, it's just a G5 conference.
Oh, buddy. Oh, yeah.
You all were just here. And second, if you think the Big 12 is a G5 conference, well, that explains why you guys look G5 in the SEC.
Well, that's like, you know, some of their fans were straight up like happy that they blamed, you know, the defense. You fired your offensive coordinator through.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. I saw a lot of OU fans kind of like, that really sucks. Like, why is he leaving here to go to West Virginia? That's a third tier program. Get the hell out of here.
Because hey, listen, you want to know why he left? This is Laney Moe's thought of the day about this.
All right,
he left because everybody knows the defensive coordinator for the Oklahoma Sooners will always be Brett Venables, the head coach, as long as he's there. That's what he does. Just like everybody knows the offensive coordinator at WVU for the next however long Rich Rodriguez is here. It's going to be Rich Rodriguez. It's not. he was not the DC while he was at Oklahoma.
He was the co-DC.
He was a co-DC. We did not hire the DC, the head honcho. We hired the guy that they hired away from Rich Rod. Rich said, come on home to daddy. And he said, here I come. So... Well, And he gets to be the face of the defense. His the dude's what, 30 or 31?
31 or 32.
I got socks in my basket older than this guy. Okay.
Did you know that the head coach for Arizona State is 34?
34 years old. Yes.
And like, because I was watching him in an interview, and my wife is like, how old is he? He looks like he's not any older than you. And I'm like, I said, I don't know. He does look young. And I looked it up. Dude, I'm a month older than he is.
He's 34.
I was like, holy crap. And he's a head coach at a D1 school. Like, good for him, man. But anyway, yeah, you're right. I think that's a good point. It's an interesting. I'm going to make you a graphic, and that's going to be a segment. And I'm going to use that same picture where you're like this, but it's going to be like Laney's thought of the day.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, I mean, you go and work for the guys who you really look up to.
Who you have chemistry with. Who you enjoy working with.
Yeah.
Who you
want to be around. And Rich made him. He was the DC at Jacksonville State. Rich put him on the map. So he had the opportunity to come back. And I guarantee you, Rich Rodriguez has said, hey, this is your defense. This is your defense. And he brought back Castile as a defensive analyst. You know, so you got the young with the old, you know, and hey, my thing is, I mean, it's a circle of life in a weird way. You know, things pass on and the next up and coming have to, you know, they have to prove themselves. So here he goes. So,
I'm here to support anybody that Rich brings in to see where it goes, see how things are. It's like I said, he wasn't my first choice. But hey, I'm on board.
And this
we're gonna be winners again, man. We're gonna be winners again.
And this staff's far from being done. It's far from being done.
Absolutely.
And also, I think you're going. Noel Devine was the first name announced as far as a player comeback. And I think we're going to see two or three more. And I believe that.
You think Pat White ends up back on staff
eventually? Due time.
Yeah.
Due time. Yeah. I can see like a. Like a Pat White coming in. I can see a former offensive lineman coming in with like strength and conditioning or some offensive analysis with line play, running game coordinator, something like that. And I can see, honestly, this sounds crazy. I can see like a Bruce Irving or a Pac-Man Jones. Truly.
Dude, Bruce Irving's been kind of vocal about wanting to do something like that. So I can see that.
So, I mean, and the thing is, I mean, my thing is that's good. That, I mean, it'd be, yeah, it'd be phenomenal. But yeah, it's
my
it's,
only
it's
thing is my times. Only thing is my only thing is I want to make sure that whoever he brings in, and some of it would have to be trial and error, because until you get the chance to coach, you don't know if you can or cannot coach. Mm-hmm. And I want people to remember that just because you're excellent at a sport or something doesn't mean you can teach it and coach it. I'm not saying Noel Devine isn't going to be able to teach things. I'm just saying everyone's like, well, we should bring every player back that's ever played to be a coach. We had some really phenomenal players over the years. Doesn't mean they're going to be able to coach, and it doesn't mean they're going to be able to teach. What is it? How's it go? Those who can't teach, or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But let's switch gears a little bit, Lanny. Let's go to the hardwood, man. Because yeah, buddy. I'm going to tell you right now. if you were not a fan of the basketball team before this week, I don't know how you're not now.
The bandwagon is slowly filling up fast.
There's no more. I mean, the ass of the bandwagon's jagging the ground. It's rough right now. The springs, the shocks are giving out, man, because we got two wins this week. One over number 7 Kansas for the first time ever in Kansas. Okay. In Darian DeVries' first year or first 13 games of his first season as our coach, he has done multiple things that we haven't done for the last 15 years. First off, 3 ranked teams we beat already, 2 of which were top 10 when we beat them. Okay. Then we go to Kansas, get a win at the Fog. Then before that, we beat Gonzaga, who we've never beaten.
First time.
What, at the Fog?
Yes. No, yeah, that we've ever won at the Fog too.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, okay.
Beat Kansas at the Fog for the first time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got you. Yeah. but yeah, beating them at the Fog. Beating Gonzaga, who we've never beat, in his first season with a fairly amount of new players. And at the beginning of the season, it's like I said, I say this for every first-year coach, I have zero expectations. I have zero expectations on a first year for a coach, okay? And I still don't have any kind of, like, I expect DeVries to do this year. But I will say this. At this point, I would be surprised if we didn't make the tournament. I assume we're going to make the tournament. I would be surprised if we get bounced in the first round right now. Like, okay, this team is – I did not expect so much success so early from the first season of a new coach. Installing a new system with new players, bringing in chemistry. You can't teach chemistry, right? He's been excellent at evaluating the people, the kids that he brought in and putting them on the floor together. And it's fun to watch again, right? Like, yeah. I'm stoked. And if we're not ranked by the time this episode comes out,
we will be.
We would have to be at this point.
We will be ranked when the new rankings come out on the 6th. We'll be ranked.
And our episode comes out an hour after the rankings. We should be ranked at the time people are watching me say this right now.
Yes.
I would think higher than 25, but even if it's 25, we should have a number beside our name next week.
Yeah.
When we go into our game. I'm just stoked. I'm stoked about it. I just, you know what I mean? Like, I was excited about the hire in the first place, but now watching the first few games, I'm like, damn, okay, this is more serious than I thought we were going to be this year.
My expectations have been, I was like, if he goes 500,
yeah, he
goes 500, that's a great building block. You get a full year to recruit your players, mm-hmm, your type of
who he's already what you want. Some pretty good,
yes,
pretty good players that have already signed for next year.
And the thing is, now you got to hold on to these players that are freshmen that you brought in, you know, to keep them from getting poached away, you know, and then, you know, and build class to class. And we are always going to be that program, truly, that we might lose a guy. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't, if Smalls was a sophomore, for example, you got to do what you can, you know, but he's not, you know, he is what it sucks. We're going to get Smalls for 1 year, you know,
But what a year he's making of it.
But yeah, and you're playing without DeVry was supposed to be your best player on this team.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed
you're
to be
without, you're playing without and, your number one scorer
and
right
and
now.
You're winning, without him. You're winning without not just mm-hmm. that, a coach on the floor. He is a reach out from his dad from the bench. You know, he knows the system. So he is a coach on the floor. So you're losing that leadership that's not out there. And buckets and the hustle and the you know what I'm saying? So you're losing the player that's not out there too to go along with that. And buddy, I mean, it's plug and play. And you know, have we can you keep it going? God, I hope so. You know,
but I think so, man, because look, am I saying that we're not going to lose any more games now? We're probably going to drop a few more before the end of the year. Hey, we've got a lot of basketball left to play.
We're first place in the Big 12.
but you look at who we've beaten already and look at the ball we've played already.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, you know, I don't know why. I really don't know why we lost to Louisville in that tournament because we lost to Louisville in between beating two ranked teams. It's weird. We had a bad night. Louisville had a good night.
Hey, you lost to them in overtime, you know?
Yeah.
And it might have been at that point, we don't know what we had on the bench as far as like trusting rotations or whatever. Yeah. I mean, you're still learning the chemistry of this player can play with this one, but I whether I go small or I go big in the lineup or whatever. But, you know, it happened and we can't go back to it. But I guarantee, man, I'm saying I wish I could have again. Man, wish we could play Pitt right now.
Oh, God, I'd love to have that game back.
You know?
Man,
I guarantee you, Pitt does not, even if we played them at Pitt, Pitt does not beat us by 25 points.
I would love to have that game back 100 times, 100 more times. Because
they shot phenomenal and we played bad.
Yeah.
You know,
and that was only the third or fourth game of the year.
And you know what? Sometimes a good team plays bad. It's just not your night.
You have that,
you know, you bowl, we golf, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's just not your day where you're making putts or you know what I'm saying? Or your ball's just not coming into the pocket the way you want it on the lanes.
I don't know what you're talking about. You take anybody listening to this, you come meet me on the green or you come meet me on the hardwood. I'll take your money. Okay. I'll take your money. Such a dorky sport. but by God.
we got old twinkle toes out there on the
rolling a rock. Listen, I never made it to a TV final, but by God, I won some money doing it. but I'm happy about it. I think we got some good stuff going on with the basketball team, man. So I'm excited. Yeah. But I think with that being said, we're getting high end time, so we're going to cut this off here. And, mm-hmm. you know, everybody, we thank you guys for coming back to us here in the new year 2025. There's a lot of us that are going to be dealing with some ice and some nasty snow when you guys are watching this. You guys be careful out there because
it started
down here in Charleston. And I think I was out running around today doing some stuff. I came home and it's that kind of snow that once it's been ran over, it's turning to ice. Because, like, I pulled my truck in, didn't like the way I do it, so I pulled it back out and then pulled it back in, got out and walked around it, and the snow on the outside of the door where I ran, I slipped and almost – I was like, what the hell? And, like, I ran my foot across it where my tracks were, and it was solid. I'm like, this is going to be nasty for people.
On top of it, the snow is one thing.
It's just good ice.
It's supposed to be cold all week, like the high for the week's like 29, 30 here in Morgantown.
And I don't know about up there.
It's not going to melt.
It ain't going anywhere. No. And down here tonight, they're saying down here we can get anywhere from 3/10 to 6/10 of ice.
Which is awful on power lines.
Yeah, which you and I know all about that. And then we're supposed to get more snow tomorrow night after the ice tonight. So Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to get a break. And then Friday and Saturday, there's another storm that's supposed to be coming up that we're supposed to get on top of this. And I'm like,
beautiful.
It's going to be a nasty couple weeks. So yeah. Everybody out there, be safe. Use your heads. You know, just be careful. We don't want you all out there slipping around. With all that being said, what? You
got please. No, I was going to say something to the viewers. Okay, just, you know, please like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah, they know that.
You know, do all that stuff. Hopefully this year we're going to be changing a few things up, you know, just, throwing more, a little bit more at you a little bit when we can, you know, just put ourselves out there a little bit more. We're not going to shove anything, you know, hopefully down your throat and, you know, overload you with us, but, it's about all I got.
All right, man. Well, listen, everybody be safe and have a good week.
Hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Let's go. Thank you.